Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Fated and the Damned by Chloe Hodge, narrated by Romy Nordlinger and Alistair Hainsbridge. Prologue. The Dark Queen. I'd forgotten the taste of blood, the metallic tang upon my lips, the surge of power slipping through my veins. A gentle buzz thrummed through my body, and I marveled at every small sensation tingling beneath my skin. I was whole again, beautiful and strong, soon to be unstoppable. The underling fixed between my thighs picked up his pace as I arched my back, opening my legs in a simple command. His tongue swept up my center, heightening my desire. My need for release, filling me up in waves. I fisted his hair in one hand, grinding my hips as I pulled him closer. A soft moan spilled from my lips, and I paused, taking a breath, before once more feasting on the neck of the witch hanging limply in my other hand. Her blood, the very essence of her power, misted past my lips, coating my tongue as I swallowed greedily. This was what it meant to be alive. My enemies laid before my feet, my disciples responding to my every whim. I had forgotten what it was to have magic, and I had no qualms about restoring it. The ritual circles my faithful flock had been casting to drain the girls of their vigor were no longer necessary now that my body was fully restored. The last few months, I had been little more than a wraith as my power slowly returned, my body repairing a little more with each kill. But now, I was restored to my beautiful self. Better, in fact, no longer needing spells or ceremony to serve my dark magic. I was no longer a witch, but something other, neither living nor dead, but a new breed of chaos. My power was heightened, my thirst for blood and strength never sated. Gone was the hunger for feeble human food. My resurrected form could take power direct from the source, feed on witches like the vampires of old. Baba Yaga had even fashioned my teeth like them, enhancing the pleasure of each kill. Witches were my sisters once, yet I felt nothing but joy when I drained them of blood. No sorrow or empathy, no regret or guilt. Not after witchkind had hunted me down, killed my followers, and tied me up like a dog as they watched the flesh melt from my bones. Nor would I offer them no mercy, no quarter, and I would take pleasure from ripping out the throats of every damned witch I destroyed. Pleasure had been beyond my reach for too long. Any physical sensation at all, thanks to that wretched horseman. I'd expected pain for my treachery, torture by the hands of demons and ancient creatures beyond even my comprehension. And indeed, Death and his minions had granted me such for a time. When that didn't break me, he'd gifted me something so much worse. An eternity of emptiness. I'd been but a speck of energy in a void of darkness, incorporeal, unable to feel or speak or do anything at all except float alongside the other souls damned to a fate worse than death. Trapped. What could be more horrible than the agony of physical pain? The absence of everything that made one alive. Just another ripple in a never-ending river. It was worse than any hurt I might have felt by a blade. I'd have taken the stake over the desolation he'd wrought upon me any day, if only to feel something. Somehow I'd clung to my sanity all these long years, and against all odds, my followers had defied the will of the gods, defied Death himself to bring me back. And like any fool brought to their knees, I had learnt my lesson, Challenging a greater power was not without risk. My death had been the price of such stupidity, and I would not fall so easily again. Not with an army of loyal worshippers at my back, not with her in the picture now. The girl presented a problem, but one I planned to rectify soon. And now that my body was back to its former glory, my strength had returned, my ambition with it. "Faster," I whispered to the man on his knees, driving him harder against me as I reclined against my throne, sucking the last of the witch's power from her lips. Her body sagged, the light in her eyes flickering out as I took my last breath and shoved her away. The witch thudded to the ground, her ribs caved in, her body deflated, utterly drained of all her worth, which wasn't much. Her power was weak, her magic little more than dregs in the bottom of a cup, and I was hungry, always hungry. My minion gripped my thighs with two star-scarred palms, ravishing me with rapid strokes of his warm tongue. Pleasure surged, a breathy moan leaving my lips as I grinded against him, my black varnished claws dug into the throne's arms as my core tightened, and I came, high as a towering wave before it strikes. When my thighs ceased their quivering, I looked down at the man between my legs, satisfaction roiling through me as he bowed his head in reverence. He had done his job adequately enough. I flicked my hand dismissively. "Go, summon Yaga and bring the next prisoner." He nodded, backing away a healthy distance before disappearing out through the crumbling doorway of the castle. My new stronghold was ancient, a crumbling, dilapidated sprawl of stone and creeping ivy, once home to a forgotten king who'd no doubt fallen to a greater man, judging by the ruination of the keep. What it lacked in charm and sophistication, it made up for in location and security. My followers assured me we'd be left alone, all because of a ghost story, no less. The entire household had been slaughtered once upon a time after an arranged marriage went awry, a result of treachery and greed between houses, supposedly when the other family reneged on their promises and ended that marriage early. The human wretches in the nearby towns said the spirits of the castle's previous inhabitants walked the halls and would kill any who dared enter its threshold. Nothing more than a folktale for superstitious humans. I scoffed. Small-minded fools, ones who I planned on wiping from the earth soon enough. They were beneath us, those giftless creatures, and I would crush every colony and remind them of their place before I was done. "My queen," a lilting voice uttered, breaking me from my thoughts. My gaze snapped to its owner. She was a picture of grace, would have been disarmingly beautiful in her youth. Baba Yaga, my second, my most loyal servant among the flock. She bent her head as I gazed at her, a cruel smile carving her lips as she noted the limp body on the floor.
"Did the witch please you, your grace?"
I rose, patting over to the body and tilting her cheek with my toe. She'd barely a drop of magic in her. Useless. Yaga looked at the body with disdain.
"A half-breed. My brothers informed me after her capture. A mistake I will ensure does not happen again."
The father was human, I presume. She dipped her head. "The blood of witches runs thinner by the year. They have grown lazy from idleness and peace, thanks to the wards erected around the village. The humans are none the wiser about their existence, and those that cavort with witches do so willingly, or have their memories wiped soon after. The coven has been quiet." "Not for much longer," I said with a small smile. "These wards you mention, they can be removed?"
Yaga grinned with pointed teeth, seeming to catch on to my thoughts.
It will be difficult. The counselors now know the Banya was a ruse, and they will have strengthened their defenses.
She pursed her lips, pacing slowly.
I'll need to consult the tomes, but yes, I believe it's possible.
I padded towards Yaga on bare feet, my gown swishing through the blood-stained stones.
Your sensitivities put us in this mess. I clicked my tongue, my voice turning brittle.
Sentimentality has no place in this cult. You were sloppy involving your son in my affairs.
My power trailed from my palms in misty red waves, snaking around Yaga's shoulders. I ran a nail down her arm, and she shivered at the touch, baring her throat to me in submission, her frame trembling with fear. Yet something like lust gleamed in her eyes, whether at me or in recognition of my power. I couldn't be sure. Demons below, she was a stunning creature, one I might consider worthy of being my consort. But there was another one I had my eye on, one with great potential, power even he didn't know the limits of, and what a match we could make.
I smiled and pressed a kiss to Yaga's mouth. She parted her lips as I swept my tongue in, a breathy sigh leaving her as I deepened the kiss until it was bruising. I sank my recently filed fangs into her lips, drawing blood, which I consumed greedily. She moaned, arching into my touch, sweeping my long black hair over a shoulder. She tasted like dark magic and black hell, the promise of power swelling in that blood. Powerful, but not nearly enough. I pulled away sharply, wiping my bloodied lips and sucking what remained off my finger, my hand tightening around her throat. Her eyes widened, the flesh around her throat reddening until I let her go and she gasped, bending double.
See that the wards are destroyed. There's something I'd like to send to the witches. A gift from their true queen to her people.
Yaga bowed, her shock replaced with a dutiful nod.
It shall be done.
And Yaga? I said, dangerously low. Do not disappoint me again, or it will be your blood I feed on. She bared her teeth and hissed, but was wise enough not to challenge me. My queen, she said simply, before turning on her heel and storming away. I smiled as I sauntered lazily to the arched window, gazing at the treetops and the city I knew lay beyond. With my power restored, the witches and their Taltashak bodyguards wouldn't stand a chance. Soon, Mistvalen, the kingdom and the world beyond, would be mine. Part 1. The Curse of Consequence. 1. Kitarni. Red splattered in a crimson arc as my blade bit into pale flesh. One smooth slice, and my opponent's lifeblood drained away, his throat torn open. The mess of battle never bothered me. I was a blood witch, after all. A war song pounded in my blood, spurring my instincts as I moved quickly, purposefully. These were my enemies, my prey, and I would spare them no quarter. I bumped into a solid wall and spun, a snarl on my lips, as I came face to face with Dante. His eyes were dark murder, the gold ring flaring brightly in the dark. He said nothing, did nothing but turn away and fillet his next victim. I ignored him, trying not to dwell on the absence of emotion on his face, joining Andrush's side as three cultists closed ranks, trapping him against a thick, scarred tree trunk. Around us, the forest dripped with black, stinking of rot and ruin and the iron tang of fresh blood. A roar escaped my lips as I charged, sliding beneath a clumsy swipe by one man and gutting him in a flash of silver. I refused to acknowledge the glimpse of pink spilling from his stomach, moving on to square off with a man with sewed lips and eyes with pupils so dilated they were almost black. High on blood morphia, no doubt. The angry red line of his mouth looked infected, bubbling with yellow and pus-filled sores. I grimaced, focusing instead on his movements, the amateur stance, and the white-knuckled grip on his axe. He moved, and I feigned to the left, changing direction at the last second to rotate and ram my blade into his chest. Pained sounds answered, muffled and distorted from beneath his infected lips. What were they even trying to prove with such stupid ceremonies anyway? Was it some sort of sadistic punishment? I grunted as I pulled my blade out. Another fanatic felled. One less monster to defend against. I set my jaw, huffing a stray curl from my face. Andrush, having dispatched his attacker swiftly, studied me for a beat too long. Someone's in a mood today. I smiled sweetly, belying my frustration at a certain broody, towering wall of muscle looming nearby, whom didn't deserve any space in my already muddled mind. Just doing my duty. Andrush's eyes narrowed as he looked at the trail of bodies in my wake and mumbled, "If that's what you want to call it." I looked at him coolly. What's that supposed to mean? A discussion for another time, he answered with a frown. Planting a hand on my hip, I pinned him in my stare. Duck, Andrush yelled. I didn't hesitate, sliding my leg out and crouching as he parried with a cultist. The ring of steel clanged in my ear, and I rolled to the side, narrowly avoiding a sword that glided beneath Andrush's guard, dipping right where my head had been. Adrenaline sluiced through my stomach, and I focused my attention elsewhere, shaking my head to clear it. A deep voice grunted with pain, and I snapped my eyes to the source. Dante. His arm was bleeding, and before my body could register it, I was moving, running towards him with my sword raised and all my weight behind it as I shifted. Damn it! Even my body defied my determination to ignore the man, acting on pure instinct. My blade connected with bone, and I grunted with effort, severing a clean cut through until a head thumped to the ground and rolled. When it finally came to a halt before a less than amused Andrush, silence enveloped me, us. I stared into Dante's eyes, searching for only the gods knew what. My heart thudded erratically in my chest, and the hopeful girl in me longed, ached, to reach a hand out, to trail that stubbled jaw, to feel his arms around me, his lips upon my own. Even after what he'd done, there was no denying how much I yearned for what was or what could have been. But the lies and deceit had opened a rift between us. Even if his reasons were valid, even if I'd have done whatever it took to save his brother, just like I'd have done anything if it was Esther that Sylvie had been ransoming. As if reading my mind, he lifted a hand, and my heart galloped in my chest, anticipating his touch, needing to feel his flesh upon my own. Instead, he changed course, gripping his injured arm instead. He cleared his throat. It's only a flesh wound, he declared softly, daring a step towards me. My walls built before my mind's eye, solid as stone, unbreakable as iron, and I hated that feeling, hated myself, for stepping away from that one small gesture. I swallowed the stupid lump in my throat. Good, get cleaned up. We need to move. I turned away from him, feeling the distance widening that hole inside me even more, the hole that was growing to a chasm day by day by day. The wound I filled with anger and destruction and hate instead. 2 months had passed since Sylvie's resurrection. I'd almost died on that stone slab as Dante's mother, that vile, wretched creature, had fed from me, stolen my power and blood to bring the Dark Queen back from the dead. And Dante, I hadn't been able to forgive him. Honestly, I'd been dealt some shitty cards and wasn't quite ready to face them yet. Instead, I'd focused all my efforts on finding the crown Death had tasked me with hunting. A symbol of sovereignty in the underworld. The problem was, I had no clue where to find it, and hours spent researching with Margaret in the castle library had amounted to nothing. When my brain grew too tired to take in information, I dedicated every spare moment to training. If we stood any chance of killing Sylvie, I needed to be strong. Body, mind, spirit. And hell, I could see the grueling sessions paying off in the sleek new muscles of my body, though the latter was wanting. My heart was empty, just a blank slate wiped clean. But these depressing thoughts were better spent with a drink in hand or a sword, and my blade had done enough damage for one day. There were witches needing help. My stomach churned as I gazed upon a line of 4 women bound by rope. They ranged from teens to a similar age to me, huddling together like sheep. I stalked up to them and swore at the sight of mottled bruises and purples and yellows lining their skin. Fucking cultists. "It's okay," I said gently as I cut their bindings. "You're safe now." Their eyes were wide, gleaming partly with relief and the haunted look of fear. To their credit, they raised their chins, seeming to find their bearings. I recognized a couple from the village, Hannah's friends. A blonde witch, Elizabeth, I think her name was, walked forward and, to my surprise, knelt before me. "Thank you." Then again, quieter, tentatively, "Thank you." She looked up at me, one eye swollen, but imploring all the same, a plea for forgiveness. My heart panged with sorrow for what my kith had been through, what many would likely go through yet. I'd been joining the hunting parties for weeks now, scouring the woods for signs of the cult and cutting them down before they could advance to the village or Mistvellen. Mama had informed us that more witches were disappearing, no doubt as sacrifices for whatever horrible rituals Sylvie required to return to her strength. We'd saved many girls, but there were always cracks in our defenses, always loose threads the enemy had cut. Most of our army remained in Mistvellen, training, scouting, protecting our greater city. All witches had been offered sanctuary, should they want it, but many remained in the village. I suspected Caitlin had much to do with that. But there were some, like my mother, who refused to abandon any that would stay behind. "We are all sisters," Mama had said fiercely the last time I saw her. "I will fight for them until the end." I glanced at the girl before me. I still recalled the feeling of wet mud clinging to my skin after she'd pushed me, laughing alongside Hannah and her other friends. I still remembered the vines that held me down and lashed at my skin time and again as they cackled over me. Each time, I could have burned them to cinders, but I'd been too scared, not knowing how far I'd go. But that was long ago now, inconsequential. Despite our differences, the horrible ways she'd treated me in the past, she was a witch, and we protected our own. I held out a hand in supplication, and she took it with a steady grip as I pulled her to her feet. "It's forgotten," I whispered for her ears alone. All of it. We both knew what I meant. How far back that forgiveness went. She nodded, relief easing the taut lines of her face. Her pretty features only hardened as she took in the slaughter around us. The cultists have been attacking the village for weeks now, pressing in small waves and blocking our routes to the human towns. They take witches from their beds, somehow surpassing our defenses. Without supplies and manpower, I fear we will not last the summer. I sighed, sweeping a hand through my unruly hair. We can send more soldiers, but Lord Shandor won't risk leaving Mistfallen unprotected against a greater force. I chewed my lip, my nerves writhing with anxiety. Are the witches still in training? Elizabeth cringed. Erica is doing her best with the time she has, and the Taltashok are assisting when they can, but Caitlin has... She swallowed, looking away. She's done what? I growled. The witch's hands curled into fists. She's agreed to meet with the Dark Queen to come to a mutual agreement. I blinked. What the fuck? I'll burn in hell before I allow that to happen. Sylvie is murdering our people day by day, and Caitlin is considering a meet? No. Trust me, I know how insane this is. Elizabeth met my gaze with her sky-blue eyes. We need you, Kitarni. We need you now more than ever. The witches surrounding Elizabeth nodded, their expressions fierce as they looked at me. For direction, I realized. For leadership. My witch kith, who had once delighted in bullying me and belittling me, needed my guidance. Because they sensed my devotion to the cause, or because of the power running through my veins. An ugly, spiteful piece of me deep down wanted to let them suffer for their crimes, but no, I could never, would never turn my back on my own kind, my village. I took a deep breath, letting the air sigh from my lips. Okay, I'll deal with Caitlin. I'll come home. Except it wasn't my home anymore. Never really had been, if not for my family and Erica. Elizabeth studied me as if she knew that, too, and I didn't have the words or energy to broach that subject. Better to let sleeping dogs lie. I turned, but three words halted my step. I'm sorry, Kitarni. Elizabeth's voice was quiet, but to me, it was loud as a bell tolling. What we did to you was wrong, she continued. I'll always wish I could take it back. My heart panged, but I didn't turn, didn't look at her as I said softly, I'm sorry too. A sad smile curved my lips. I just wish it didn't take the end of the world for you to realize that.
2. Dante. It was torture to be around her. Breathing the same air, inhabiting the same space, yet feeling like she was oceans away from my reach. I watched as Kitarni laughed, her smile lighting up the room. Those hazel eyes gleaming with joy as she plotted with Andras and Margit at the edge of the training area in the castle grounds. After hunting down the cultists in the woods and freeing the witches, we'd ventured back to Mistvelen, but I knew Kitarni was itching to return to her village. So many stolen witches, so much death, it was wearing on her soul. We'd only been back one night, but it seemed my little Hellcat hadn't had enough violence to sate her anger. Unfortunately for Andras, he was usually her sparring partner, and, consequently, her training dummy. Andras and Margit were the two people who could make her forget all the horror in our lives and bring some light back. It made my heart swell to see her so happy with them, until I remembered she would never smile like that for me again. I would never feel her hand upon my own, the press of her tender lips, The fiery embrace.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?